Translation. My dear Vyas, even though a devotee of Lord Krishna sometimes falls down, somehow or other, he certainly does not undergo material existence like others, fruited workers, etc. Because a person who has once relished the taste of the lotus feet of the Lord can do nothing but remember that ecstasy again and again. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. A devotee of the Lord automatically becomes uninterested in the enchantment of material existence because he is rasagraha, or one who has tasted the sweetness of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. There are certainly many instances where devotees of the Lord have fallen down due to uncongenial association, just like fruitive workers who are always prone to degradation. But even though he falls down, a devotee is never to be considered the same as a fallen karmi. A karmi suffers a result of his own fruitive reactions, whereas a devotee is reformed by chastisement directed by the Lord himself. The sufferings of an orphan and the sufferings of a beloved child of a king are not one and the same. An orphan is really poor because he has no one to take care of him, but a beloved son of a rich man, although he appears to be on the same level as the orphan, is always under the vigilance of his capable father. A devotee of the Lord, due to wrong association, sometimes imitates the fruit of workers. The fruit of workers want to lord it over the material world. Similarly, a neophyte devotee foolishly thinks of accumulating some material power in exchange for devotional service. Such foolish devotees are sometimes put into difficulty by the Lord himself. As a special favor, he may remove all material paraphernalia. By such action, the bewildered devotee is forsaken by all friends and relatives. And so he comes to his senses again by the mercy of the Lord and is set right to execute his devotional service. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is also said that such fallen devotees are given a chance to take birth in a family of highly qualified Brahmins or in a rich mercantile family. A devotee in such a position is not as fortunate as one who is chastised by the Lord and put into a position seemingly of helplessness. The devotee who becomes helpless by the will of the Lord is more fortunate than those who are born in good families. The fallen devotees born in a good family may forget the lotus feet of the Lord because they are less fortunate. But the devotee who is put into a forlorn condition is more fortunate because he swiftly returns to the lotus feet of the Lord, thinking himself helpless all around. Pure devotional service is so spiritually relishable that a devotee becomes automatically uninterested in material enjoyment. That is a sign of perfection in progressive devotional service. A pure devotee continuously remembers the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna and does not forget him even for a moment, not even in exchange for all the opulence of the three worlds. Gora graganya gana gocha guloduhadam goranga guda tamagopyada kopa briksham kupala gada ratidam yati singha gora govinda deshi kavaram satatam namami. So, I just got a little note from the authorities requesting me to say something about three other topics, each of which could be a class in himself, or actually even a seminar in some cases. We'll just touch on this out of respect. Today is a day known as Snan Purnima, or Snan Yatra. We spoke a little elaborately about this a few days ago in Soho Street, so I'm not so inclined to do so again. We spoke something about the Rath Yatra, and we raised the question, when does the Rath Yatra festival begin? Some people may say on the day of Rath Yatra. Others would say that it begins on Snan Purnima. Other people might say that it begins on the day of Akshaya Tritiya, which is when they began to make the Rath Yatra carts. And other people may say that it began a few days ago on the day that we know is Pandava Nirjala Ekadasi. Because that Pandava Nirjala Ekadasi is a day of Rukmini Vivaha, or Lakshmi Narayan Vivaha, and it's a very romantic festival in the Jagannath Mandir when Lakshmi and Narayan get married. And this actually is the basis of the Rath Yatra festival. Their cloth is tied together in a knot. And 4 days later is Snan Purnima, which is actually the appearance day of Lord Jagannath. Jagannath's very fortunate. He has 3 birthday parties. We like to have one. He has Janmashtami. And Snan Purnima, which is the day that Lord Jagannath was installed in the Gundicha Mandir. And that's why that place is something considered to be like Vrindavan. And the third festival is the day that Jagannath was installed in the Jagannath Mandir, which corresponds to the day following Bahuda Rath Yatra when Jagannath returns, when he enters back into the temple. So Jagannath takes his public bath on this day, and they use water from a special well called the Suna Kua. The Suna in Oriya language means gold, and Kua means a well. That well is only used once a year for this particular festival, Jagannath. And on that day, the Pandavas, the Pujaris and Puri, you can see them because Jagannath has his bath up on the northeastern wall of the Jagannath Mandir. And all the Pandas, they cover their noses and mouths with their cloth wrapped around their head because they don't want to contaminate the pots of water that they use to bathe Lord Jagannath. And they give him a big public bath. They say 108 pots, but other people say it's much more than that. Anyway, when Jagannath finishes his public bath, and they have a very unusual dress which they offer to him, which sometimes becomes a little controversial. Krishna Kund, do you have a Govardhan magazine? It's said that once there was one Ganapatni Bhakta who was living in South India, and someone had told him that Jagannath is Param Brahma. Param Brahma Pida Kuvalaya Dolot Fula Nayano is described in Jagannath Ashtakam, the 6th verse, that Lord Jagannath is the last limit of Brahman. And so this Ganapatni Bhakta thought, okay, I'll go, I'll check him out. But if he's really Purna Brahma, then he's going to manifest in the form of my Ishtadev, Ganesh. And so he went there, and by the mercy of Jagannath, Jagannath manifested that form before the devotee. Because Jai Rupa Chinche Dasi Sehi Rupa Hoy, Vrindavan Das Thakur says in Chaitanya Bhagavat, that according to the mood of a devotee, the Lord manifests a corresponding form. And so Jagannath and Balaram, they manifested, they dressed up as elephants. Because ladies are not really very attractive to dress up like elephants. Subhadra, she dressed like a lotus. And to this day, in Jagannath Puri, they have this special dress every year. And we wrote something about this recently in our most recent issue, Krishna Katamrita magazine, which is all about Govardhan. Now, you may question, why are we writing something about Jagannath in a magazine about Govardhan? Because there was a little bit of a dilemma that we had in our presentation, because we worked on this for about 25 years, collecting very rare information and pictures of the caves in Govardhan Hill and the meaning of Gunjamala and so many things. But there was one subject I was a little shy to touch on, and that is it authorized or bona fide to worship Govardhan Shilas as Balaram or Radharani? There's many devotees who do that. And so we investigated this very thoroughly. There's 2 verses from Braj Ritchi Chintamani by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur that are sometimes cited to support this conception. But if you look at them as we analyze, the Sanskrit simply doesn't say that some Shilas are Balaram or Radharani. And furthermore, there's no mention in any of our Goswami literatures, any literatures of our Acharyas about such worship, nor is there any tradition in our Sampradaya of doing that. But nevertheless, there is some tradition in Braj. If you go to Jatipura, just a little before Jatipura, you'll find the place where Indra landed with his elephant, Airavata, and there's Airavata's footprint there. Just a few meters away from that footprint, there is an unusual Govardhan Shila in the form of a Shiv Linga, about halfway up the hill. And that stone is worshipped like Gopiswar Mahadev. A little further from there, there's another stone which looks very like much like Hanuman. We've had some Brijbasis take photos of some of these for us. And they worship that stone of Giriraj as Hanuman. And a little further than that, there's another stone which they worship for a long time as Balaram. Now, it's interesting to note that in each one of these cases, they don't consider that Giriraj has become Shivji, or he's become Hanuman, or he's become Balaram. That would be the fault known as Parinamavad. In classic Vedanta Sutra philosophy, there's this misconception propounded by Mayavad philosophers that God transforms himself, Parinam, into the jivas, or into someone like Ganesh. So the Brijbasis, they don't consider that Giriraj has now become Shiva, or he's become Hanuman or Balaram, but he's in that mood. And in considering this subject very carefully, we noted that also in Gauralila, there's some similar pastimes. Sometimes Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu manifests the mood of different devotees, of Dhruva Maharaj, of Prahlad Maharaj, sometimes the gopis. Sometimes he's in the mood, we hear in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that sometimes he manifests the mood of Lord Balaram. And sometimes he manifests, Chaitanya Bhagavat describes it, sometimes he manifests the mood of Lord Shiva. And it's said there that when he manifested the mood of Lord Shiva, that the devotees began to offer Shiva stuti, or prayers to Lord Shiva to please Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But it doesn't mean that we consider that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became Shiva, or Dhruva, or Prahlad, or Balaram. We don't consider that he's transformed himself in that way. We consider that he's adopted a particular mood to relish what it's like to be a devotee, and to glorify his devotee thereby. So, although in the Sri Sampradaya, they really have a problem with this Hati Vesh, this dress, this Ganesh Vesh of Jagannath. Jai Shishi Radha Gokulananda Sitaram Lakshmana Shishi Gwanitai. They have some problem with this because they're very much sticklers to this Vedanta philosophy of Ramanuja, and they can't accept this Parinamavad. But Gaudiya Vaishnavas, we can accommodate it. So on this day, Jagannath adopts this form of Ganesh to glorify his devotee, to relish the taste of being a devotee. And then they say that Jagannath becomes sick. It's not actually found in Skanda Purana because we say that Jagannath is Navayovana. He has an eternal youthful body. But externally it appears that he becomes sick. Some Vaishnavas say that he doesn't become sick exactly, but you see what happens. The whole Snan Yatra, Snan Purnima program is actually a ruse on the part of Jagannath. He wants to go to the top of the temple to take his bath. That's his excuse. But in reality, what he wants to do, he wants to see from the top of the temple the Gundicha, which is like Vrindavan. He's hankering to see his devotees there. And seeing that from that distance, the Gundicha Mandir, which is like Vrindavan, which you can no longer see from that part of Puri anymore because of the big buildings now. But seeing that Gundicha Mandir, then Jagannath manifests some jwara or some fever. It's Vipralamba Jwara, the fever of separation. And Lakshmi Devi is such a good wife. For 2 weeks, she doesn't sleep. She just takes care of her husband. and you can't blame her. But after 2 weeks, she gets really tired, and she falls asleep. And what does Jagannath do at that time? He unties the knot connecting his cloth and Lakshmi Devi's cloth, and he leaves the Jagannath Mandir to go and see his girlfriends. And we call that Rath Yatra. And it's a very long, wonderful pastime. Lakshmi Devi wakes up a few days later, and she asks, where's her husband? And they say, well, he kind of sort of went to see his girlfriends. And Lakshmi Devi doesn't become very happy about that. She leaves the altar. She goes to a godown. She refuses to take any opulent food. She just takes kind of rough village rice and some wild spinach. And she won't take baths. She doesn't dress in any opulent clothes for several days. And then after a few days, what does a lady do? We asked this question recently when we were in Scotland. What does a lady do if her husband, newly married husband, leaves her to go see another lady? We asked that question to devotees, and one Mataji raised her hand, and she said, she should go to see her lawyer. Lakshmi Devi doesn't do that, fortunately, but she goes to see goddess Bimala Devi, who's like her auntie in their relationship. And it's a long, long pastime, but she complains to goddess Bimala Devi, and Bimala Devi gives her some special churna, some magic powder. Said, you go and blow this in the face of your husband and he'll regain his senses. She says, all men are like this. Said, I understand. And so Lakshmi Devi comes out of the temple the next day after taking bath, putting on her most expensive solid silk sari and gold ornaments. And we call that day Hara Panchami. And Hara in Oriya language means to behold or to see. And Pancham means the fifth day. It's the fifth day after Jagannath's left. And this is all part of the Rath Yatra festival. She goes to the Gundicha Mandir and different things happen there. Jagannath decides, I better return. That's called Bahuda Rath, or the return Rath. And there's a ceremony takes place just about the time, just before Jagannath gets there, which is called Lakshmi Narayan Bet. And the king of Puri acts as a marriage counselor. And he goes to Lakshmi Devi and he says, Jagannath really loves you and he feels really bad and he's come back. And to make it up for you, you know, he sent an elephant for you to ride on to go to see him. And Lakshmi Devi says, forget it. I don't want any elephant. But finally she comes out of the temple with her girlfriends and not the elephant on a palanquin. She comes before her husband, respectfully bows her head, circumambulates him, but doesn't say a word. And she goes inside the Jagannath Mandir. And Jagannath says, oh, I'm in big trouble. So Jagannath that night wears what is probably his most famous and popular dress, which is called the Sunavesh, or the dress of gold. And they say that on that day, between the three deities, Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra, they have over 1 ton of gold on. I don't know if that's true or not, but if you include the weight of all the gold ornaments that the pandas are wearing to show solidarity to Jagannath, I think it's much more than 1 ton. They really have a lot of gold necklaces and chains and whatever like that. And so then the next morning is the Pahandi Vijay, the Bahuda Pahandi Vijay, when Jagannath goes back inside the temple. And so with great fanfare and horns blowing and gongs banging, Balaram and Subhadra, they go inside the temple. And then Kaliya, Chakadola Jagannath, starts to go inside the temple, but the doors are slammed shut in his face. And there's a voice from the other side of the door, which says some of the very few words that I know how to say in a real language. It's also in Hindi. Probation nished. Entrance forbidden. Lakshmi Devi's a little sulky. So then they have a special bard whose name is Surya Narayan Das Mahapatra. He comes and he sings this very romantic song that Jagannath really loves Lakshmi Devi and she should forgive him. And finally, there's a voice from the other side of the door which says, go away. Lakshmi Devi's not very impressed. And after a lot more sweet words and different things and offers, Jagannath brought you a nice sari and some ornaments and this and that. He feels really bad. Finally, the door opens, and with great fanfare, Jagannath goes inside the first gate and starts to go up the 22 steps. When he arrives at the top of the steps at the next gate, he finds the door is again locked. And Lakshmi Devi, she sends a message to her husband, and these all come from one Stala Purana in Sanskrit. In our magazine, when we wrote about this, we included the verses, but she sent some message saying that, you tell my husband that his sweet, loving wife is not here. And the only person he's going to find is Goddess Chandi. Now, for those of you who don't know so much about different devas and devis in India, Goddess Chandi is an expansion of Durga. Durga, of course, is an expansion of Lakshmi. Goddess Chandi has an attitude. She's a bit of an angry lady. And you can recognize her by her symbols. In one hand, she has a big chopper in one hand. In the other hand, she has a man's head that she cut off. So Lakshmi Devi says, you tell my husband that his sweet, loving wife is not here, and all he's going to find is Chandi with her chopper. And you tell him that his girlfriends must be missing him. He should go back to see his girlfriends. Get out of here. And so there's some discussion back and forth. Like finally, Jagannath, he makes some big, big pots. They do this every year in Puri. They make big pots of rasgullas. And they come before Lakshmi Devi. You know, Jagannath feels really bad. And he made you these pots of nice rasgullas. And Lakshmi Devi says, okay, okay. And finally she lets him back inside. Still, it's not the end of the festival. Jagannath is placed on the altar. Lakshmi Devi goes back on the altar. And then the final ceremony is there. They take the cloth of Lakshmi and the cloth of Jagannath, and they tie them in a knot again. And that's basically Rath Yatra. So this takes place today in Jagannath Puri. This is also the disappearance day of Mukunda Datta, who is one of the great associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was a great singer of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and his many pastimes with Mukunda were Chaitanya Mahaprabhu expressed some external sulkiness. And it's given for different reasons. In one biography of Mahaprabhu, it said that Mahaprabhu was angry with him because Mukunda was going to many, many different sanghas and associating with so many different devotees. And Mahaprabhu was angry. He said that, how can you develop bhakti if you're not a kuntik? So we should be a kuntik. We should learn from this pastime of Mukunda. We should be faithful to Srila Prabhupada, to our Prabhupada Seva Sangha, but at the same time, we can be appreciative and have loving friendship, loving feelings for many different persons, whether they be Muslims or Christians or even Gaudiya Mutt or Babaji's, whatever. We should appreciate all religious types of persons, but we have our Seva Sangha. This is one lesson we can take from the pastime of Mukunda Datta. This is also the day, the disappearance day, the Tirubhav Mahotsav of Srila Kulavecha Sridhar, who was another great devotee of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, a very poor man who made his business selling cups out of banana leaves. And he didn't let anyone know. He was a very poor man. He was making a very hard living. But whatever income that he had, 50% of that income, he would use to worship the Ganga. But he wouldn't let anyone see that. He wouldn't let anyone know that. He was hiding his bhakti. This is described also in Sattva, in the Hari Bhakti Vilas, where it says that Gopayadnijatam Ishtam, that we should hide our Ishtadev, we should hide our Mala, we should hide our Gurudev, we shouldn't advertise our bhakti. And so we can learn this from Srila Sridhar Swami, Sridhar Pandit, on his disappearance day today. So now I would like to come to this verse in the Bhagavatam. It's a big verse and a big conception. But I'd like to first offer my pranams to Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj. Please forgive me, Maharaj. I'm not so worried about him forgiving me because he's a very kind-hearted, gentle devotee. But what I am afraid of is all of you, that you may become annoyed with me and feel offended. Why is this rotten devotee, why is he saying things in front of Maharaj? We want to hear from Maharaj, so please forgive me. I didn't know Maharaj was here. I would have requested him to say something instead. And I'd also, before we start, I'd like to just say a few words of appreciation. This is my third visit to the manor. The first time was in 1994 when I came with my Guru Maharaj, Guru Govinda Maharaj, as his servant. And I have a lot of strong memories from that time. And then I came again in 2007 with my good wife, Krishna Kona. We gave a few classes here. So it's been 11 years since we were here. And whenever I come here, I just like to express a little feelings. I just feel such happiness coming to this very sacred Tirtha, where Srila Prabhupada performed so many pastimes, and we have his room upstairs, and we think of Srila Prabhupada giving class here in the temple room and installing the deities and so many things. It's a very wonderful Tirtha for that, but another feeling comes to my heart when I come here, and that is a feeling of gratitude, which I'd like to express to all the devotees here for maintaining this project in such a wonderful way. It's not an easy thing to do. And certainly, I, from my humble perspective, I think you've certainly gotten the blessings of Srila Prabhupada many, many times over for doing that. So, going to this verse and purport today. Many, many points are brought up in this purport, and it's said that pratishloki, pratyakshi, nanartakoi, that each and every verse of the Bhagavatam has unlimited meaning. Each and every syllable has unlimited meaning. So we would be a great fool, a great pretender, if we would try to say that we're going to try to describe even one word of this verse properly, especially in the short time that we have before us. But there's many significant points in here. I'd like to touch on a few of them. Vihatum itchena rasagraho jana. That for a devotee who has tasted the ecstasy of Krishna's lotus feet, they just remember that ecstasy again and again. Sometimes we ask a riddle to the devotees. I'll ask you this riddle. It's a three-part riddle, three questions, and the answers should be the most simple and obvious answers. Okay? So the first question is, which devotee is the greatest devotee of Krishna? And the answer should be in such a way that everybody agrees. Who's the greatest devotee of Krishna? What would you say? Srimati Radharani. Everyone would agree with that, I think. Okay. So then, the next question is, what quality makes Radharani the greatest? It's a little harder question. Can anyone say? What is it? Remembering Krishna. Okay, that's a nice quality, Prabhuji. The greatest love for Krishna. Okay, that's also very good. Anybody else? Humility. Compassion and contrary. That's also very nice. These are all wonderful qualities of Srimati Radharani. But Chaitanya Charitamrita describes that Radharani's quality of asvadhya, of her relishment of Krishna, is so extraordinary that it excels any other devotee. Now, the next question, which should also be very simple and obvious, what's the best proof for our answers of questions number one and two? What is the best proof that Radharani is the greatest devotee and that her quality of relishment is the best? Prabhuji? Krishna makes her his guru. That's going in the direction, but it's not exactly what I'm looking for. What's the... Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the best proof that he's come to taste that relishment of Srimati Radharani. So we should understand that this quality of relishing, this is also a service, and it's a very, very important service. In 1972, in October, Srila Prabhupada gave a series of lectures, some of my very favorite lectures, in Vrindavan on Nectar of Devotion. And on the 27th of October that year, he spoke to a group of devotees. Now, try to keep in your mind, because whenever someone is speaking, they're speaking according to the time, place, and circumstance and the devotees who are there. And therefore, speaking is a little different than writing. So Prabhupada was speaking. There are many senior devotees there. You see some of the photos in our ashram in Puri. We have many photos from those classes. And you see practically a whole row of dandas many, many sannyasis and senior devotees. So Prabhupada was addressing those devotees, and this is one of the things he had to say. He said, this Shraddha has to be increased. Then when you come to the point of Ruchi, Vasudev Kata Ruchi, that's the beginning of perfection. That's the beginning. Not Shraddha, Prabhupada says, but Ruchi. When you have some Ruchi, that's the beginning of perfection. And Prabhupada goes on to say, at the present moment, there's no Ruchi, no taste. Vasudev Kata Ruchi, he said, speaking to all these senior devotees, there are so many exalted persons, but they have no Ruchi, they have no taste, they've lost all taste. Vasudev Kata Ruchi, there are two faults. Two faults. Either people could not preach properly, so they could not create taste. Either the preachers could not preach properly, so they could not create taste in the people in general. And Prabhupada said, it's not the fault of the people, it's the fault of the so-called preachers. Wow. Because they could not create taste, probably gets a little stronger. Listen to what he says. Because they could not create taste, they wanted to take the place of Krishna. Whoa. How many of you here sometimes distribute books or preach? Raise your hand. This is the London Yatra. It's one of the most famous yatras in the world for book distribution and preaching. So out of those book distributors who raised your hand, how many of you sometimes want to take the place of Krishna? A couple honest souls, humble souls who say that. I remember reading this, I thought, that's a little strong. I don't want to take the place of Krishna, but Prabhupada goes on to explain. They wanted to take the place of Krishna. That was their purpose. Imitation Krishna, imitation God, that will not do. And Prabhupada said, you have to create taste, just like Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did. This is what preaching means. And if we're not having a taste and trying to give people a taste, Prabhupada says it indicates that you're wanting to take the place of Krishna. So this ruchi, this taste, is such a very, very important thing. This ruchi must be there. Devotees should taste this. Prabhupada writes in his purport, the second canto, chapter 3, text 10. Srila Jiva Goswami has explained this desirelessness, what really desirelessness is, as bhajaniya parama purusha sukha matra sasukatvam in his Sandarbha. This means that one should feel happy only by experiencing the happiness of the Supreme Lord. This is also our service. And if we don't take up this service of relishing Krishna consciousness, then I'm sorry to say, we won't have the strength to carry out this movement. And this is described in many, many places in our literatures. I don't want to cite too many things. I'm a little worried about our time. But I would like to read you a few of my favorite verses from Madhyalila chapter 25 of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Where Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he states that Bhakta Gana Suna, my dear devotees, please listen, Mora Dainya Vachana, to my very humble words, Toma Sabada Paraduli, I take the dust from your lotus feet as my ornament, Ange Vibhushana Kori, Kichamuni Karo Nivedan. Please accept this Nivedan, or this submission at your lotus feet. Perhaps you could chant Hare Krishna in response to this. Krishna Bhakti Siddhanta Gana Jati Prafula Padma Vanatara Madhukore Aswadan Balo. Hey! Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Prema rasa kamura vani prafulita rache dine sate chara omano bringadana. Hello. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Prabhupada Prabhupada translates such a nice verse. Listen carefully. Devotional service or bhakti for Krishna is exactly like a pleasing, jubilant forest of lotus flowers wherein there is ample honey. I request everyone to taste this honey. If all the mental speculators bring the bees of their minds into this forest of lotus flowers and jubilantly enjoy ecstatic love of God, Krishna, day and night, their mental speculation will be completely, transcendentally satisfied. Nana bhavir bhakti, nanir bhava bhakta janna, hamsa chakra vaka gana, jate sabhe kore ne biha. Bolo. Krishna keli samila jaha pahi savaka bhakta hamsa koraye aha. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. The devotees who have a relationship with Krishna are like the swans and chakravaka birds who play in that forest of lotus flowers. The buds of those lotus flowers are the pastimes of Krishna, and they are edibles for the swan-like devotees. Lord Sri Krishna is always engaged in his transcendental pastimes. Therefore, the devotees, following in the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, can always eat those lotus buds, for they are the pastimes of the Lord. I'm going to jump ahead a few verses. Chaitanya Leela Mrita Pur, Krishna Leela Sukar Pur, Duhe Nili Hoya Samadurja. Bolo. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Sadhu Guru Prasade Tahaje Aswade Sejane Madhuja Prachurya. Oh, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. He says that Chaitanya Leela, Amritapur, the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are just like Amrit, nectar. Krishna Leela Sukarpur, the pastimes of Krishna, are just like very nice karpur, very fragrant karpur. Dui mile hoya sumadur madurja. You take these two and you mix them together, it becomes very, very sweet. And how do you taste it? Sadhu Guru Prasadi, by the mercy of Sadhu Guru, Tahaje Aswari. Aswari means to taste, to relish. Sejana Madurja Prachurja. The pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are full of nectar, and the pastimes of Lord Krishna are like camphor. When one mixes these, they taste very sweet. By the mercy of the pure devotees, whoever tastes them can understand the depths of that sweetness. Jalila Amrita Bini Kaya Jadi Anapane Tobe Bhakti Radhur Bhajivan. Bolo. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Jada Eka Bindu Pane Upalita Tanu Mane Hase Gaya Koreye Natan. Bolo. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Jai Amrita, Jai Leela Amrita Bine. If you don't taste this nectar, Kaya, you don't eat this thing, Jadi Anapani. Prabhupada translates, men become strong and stout by eating sufficient grains. But the devotee who simply eats ordinary grains but does not taste the transcendental pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Krishna gradually becomes weak and falls down from the transcendental position. If we don't relish these things, However, if one drinks but a drop of the nectar of Krishna's pastimes, his body and mind begin to bloom, and he begins to laugh, sing, and dance. Srila Prabhupada writes in his purport, all the devotees connected with the Krishna consciousness movement must read all the books that have been translated, the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and others. Otherwise, after some time, they will simply eat, sleep, and fall down from their position. Thus, they will miss the opportunity to attain an eternal, blissful life of transcendental pleasure. So, this is our movement. We're meant to relish something. We're meant to have some pleasure. And when that pleasure becomes so great in our heart, then begins to drip over just like a cup. If you take a cup and you fill that cup up with milk, when that cup begins to overflow, that's our preaching. My Guru Maharaj, he used to say that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's kirtan, this is also described by Rupa Goswami in his Dvitiya Chaitanyashtakam, that Mahaprabhu is Mukodgirna, Sri Chaitanya Mukodgirna, Hare Krishna Divarnaka. That his chanting wasn't just like snick, snick, yam, yam, move some beads, but it was Mukodgirna. It was like a volcano erupting out of his mouth. And our Guru Maharaj used another word in this regard, a little startling word, Udgara. Udgara means to vomit. This is the kirtan of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, the question comes, when do you vomit? We'll give a little bit of vomit tattva here. It's important. We should understand. When do you vomit? You vomit when you have a full belly. Right? So that vomiting, that's our preaching. And when our belly is full, we've relished so many nice, sweet pastimes of Radha and Krishna, then you vomit. And when you vomit, you can tell what the person's been eating, right? By the smell. Hare Krishna, I'm sorry. You can tell they've been eating very nasty things or they've been eating nice rasgulas and that. So suddenly by the fragrance of the person's words, when they begin to speak, you can tell what they've been eating. So it's our duty to read all the books of Srila Prabhupada to relish Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, we can't really preach. So this verse in purport, also another important point is made, that sometimes the devotee of the Lord, he may fall down. And Prabhupada translates it. My dear Vyas, even though a devotee of Lord Krishna sometimes falls down somehow or other, he does not undergo material existence like others, like the fruit of workers. Their situation is a completely different thing. And this is repeatedly stated again and again and again throughout the Vedic literatures, that devotees don't fall down. In the ninth canto of the Bhagavatam, Krishna tells Durvasa Muni, Yadaragara putrapta pranam vittam imam param hitvamam sharanam yata katam tvams chaktum utsehe. He says, since pure devotees have give up their homes, their wives, children, relatives, riches, even their lives, just to serve me without any desire for themselves, how can I give up such devotees? Krishna can't give them up. In the 10th canto, 2nd chapter, text 33, is described. Tata na te madhava tavaka kvachit brashyanti margat Twahi bada soridaha, Twaya bigupta vicharanti nirbhaya, Vinaya kanikapa murda su prabhu, prabhu. O Madhav, the O Supreme Personality of Godhead, if devotees who are completely in love with you sometimes fall down from the path of devotion, they don't fall like non-devotees, for you protect them. And thus they fearlessly traverse the heads of their opponents and continue to progress in bhakti. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur comments in his Sarartha Darshani, Yadiva prashyanti tadapi twayi badasorida eva bhavanti chitra ketu bharatindradyamuna adinam brahmse sati vichaditve premna satagunibhava darshanat Bat kanam brahmso pi pimadiko heto eva dristaha. He says that even if they do fall down, even if Krishna's devotees do fall down, the result is they just become more attached to you. Just like King Chitraketu, like Bharat Maharaj and Indrajumna, they had some so-called fall down. And in their fallen forms, like Britasura, who was previously King Chitraketu, their love multiplied more and more and more. He says, therefore, the fall of a devotee causes his love to increase. I know it's a little late. I would like, if I can, if it's okay with the devotees, I wanted to finish with a story. And maybe even a short little song, very short song. Is that possible? Should we do that or should we stop? Because I get really nervous, to tell you the truth also, about Hare Krishna devotees. I've found over the years that when Hare Krishna devotees get hungry, they can be really dangerous. So I don't want anybody to attack me or anything. What should we do? Should we stop here? Some comments? Should we have a little story? So if anybody needs to go for some service or something, please don't feel bad. I'm sorry we're going so long today. In the Sri Ramanuja Sampradaya, there are 12 devotees who are known as Dibyasuris, or Alwars, and they're considered to be incarnations of the Lord's energies. The 11th of those is known as Tondaripodi Alwar. And Tondaripodi Alwar, he was born in a Brahmin family in South India, and his birth name was Vipra Narayan. He's described in the South Indian prayer known as Dibyasuri Stotram. Kodande Jeshta Nakshatre Madangudi Purodbhavam Taloravyam Vanamalamsa Bhaktangri Rainam Ashraye. I take refuge. Rainam Ashraye. Ashraye means refuge. And that greatest devotee is Bhaktangri Rainam, who's known as Tondarupodi, which means the dust of the devotee's feet, who was born during the Jesha Nakshatra in the month of Agrahayan, which is December, January. And he appeared, Koloravyam Vanamal Amsa. He was an Amsa, or manifestation of Vishnu's Vanamala, his garland. Prabhupada speaks about him in Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhyalila, chapter 9, text 79, please hear. It is said that in the year 289 of the age of Kali, a long time ago, the Alwar of the name Tondaripodi was born. While engaged in devotional service, he fell victim to a prostitute. And Sri Ranganath, seeing his devotee so degraded, sent one of his servants with a golden plate to that prostitute. When the golden plate was discovered missing from the temple, there was a search, and it was found in the prostitute's house. When the devotee saw Ranganath's mercy upon this prostitute, his mistake was rectified. He then prepared the third boundary wall of the Ranganath temple and cultivated a Tulsi garden there. So this story of Tondaripodi Alwar is elaborately described in the Sri Vaishnava tradition. I'd like to just say a few words about it because it's very appropriate, a very good example of what Srila Prabhupada and the Bhagavatam are speaking about here, about how a devotee, even if they fall down, they're protected by the Lord. So in his youth, Vipra Narayan, Tondaripodi, he received all the different sangskaras, Jatakarma sangskar at the time of his birth, the mandan, the haircutting ceremony, all the different sangskaras and things. And he was very learned in all the Vedas and literatures, and he was very saintly. And at a young age, he once went on a pilgrimage, a yatra to Sri Rangam. And when he arrived there, he became so attached to Lord Ranganath that he decided to stay there the rest of his life and do menial service for Lord Ranganath. We may call it menial service, but it's a very, very important service. He wanted to grow flowers in Tulsi. And Krishna likes that service very, very much. So, in the nearby town of Tirukarambanar, there was a very beautiful prostitute, seriously beautiful. Her name was Deva Devi. And in the Sri Vaishnava tradition, they say that she was previously Divyangana, or a very beautiful Apsara. And she was a favorite of the king of Chola. So on one occasion, Devadevi, she was returning from the palace, and she was accompanied by her sister and a few companions, and they stopped to rest in the garden that was being maintained by this Vipra Narayan. And she sat down there underneath a cool shade of a tree, and she saw this Brahmin, Vipra Narayan. He was dressed in beautiful white cloth, and he had beautiful tulsi beads around his neck. And as he was going, he was chanting the names of Krishna, and he was so absorbed in his service. He was just thinking, focused completely on what he was doing to serve Lord Ranganath. And as he was going through the garden, he was just seeing everything in terms of his service. Flower, pick that flower, not a flower, skip that flower, flower. And he came before Devadevi, and his flower, and he saw her, not a flower, and And Devadevi, she became a little annoyed. So what is this? And she asked her sister, is this guy a man or is he some kind of eunuch or something? What's his problem? Because all men are attracted by her. She has that abhiman, that kind of pride. And her sister told her that he's a different kind of person. He's not crazy and he's not lacking in masculinity, but he's a saint. And his whole consciousness is absorbed in his service. He's not interested in your curls and curves and your charms and different things. He's just completely absorbed in Lord Ranganath. And she said, you know, Devadevi, if you could attract his mind, I would then consider really that you are truly the most attractive of all ladies. And I would wager, if you could do that, I'll become your slave, your servant for 6 months. And Devadevi said, okay. And she said, if I fail to do it, then I'll become your slave for the same amount of time. So then Devadevi, she took off all of her jewelry and opulent dress, and she gave them to her companions, and she said, I'll come back and see you later on. You go now. And so after she left Devadevi, she went and put herself in front of Vipra Narayan, and she looked very, very miserable, and she was standing there, and she was crying. And Vipra Narayan noticed her, and she said, he said, well, my dear daughter, who are you? Why are you crying? What's wrong? He has a very soft heart. He's a saintly person. And she told him, she said, I'm very durbhagya. I'm very, very unfortunate. Because of my past sins, I took birth in a certain family, and my mother, wanting wealth, she's used me as an instrument for the pleasure of every kind of man. And I want to give that up, that terrible sinful life. Now I've left my mother. I want to purify myself. So I've come here to take shelter at your lotus feet. I have nowhere to go. Please be merciful on me. Please accept me as your servant. And while you're gone every day to the temple of Lord Ranganath to take some flowers and things to him, I can stay here and I'll guard the garden. I'll make sure the goats don't come in and eat anything, or the dogs won't come and do some nasty business. I'll take care of the plants and things. I can serve you in so many different ways. So Vipra Narayan was a very simple fellow. He thought, oh, she wants to do service for the Lord. How can I refuse that? So he accepted her. And for 6 months, Devadevi, she was serving there in Vipra Narayan's garden, doing all types of menial service. And one day, during the rainy season, she had no shelter or anything. She was out in the garden, and the rain was pouring down, and Devadevi was soaking wet. Her sari was all wet. And Vipra Narayan was watching her, seeing that she's still continuing her service. He felt some compassion. Oh, you should come to my hut. And so she came inside the hut. She was standing close to him. She's shivering. She's soaking wet. He said, oh, you can take some of my clothes if you like. So she put on some of Vipra Narayan's cloth. And then she said, she thought to herself, this is my opportunity now. We're alone in this place at this time. So she said, my dear master, can this lowly servant give you a little massage? Massage your feet or something? And Vipra Narayan, it was a simple person. He agreed to that. But as she started massaging him, she started giving some very intimate glances at him and speaking in a very sweet way. And Vipra Narayan's mind finally became attracted to her. She chose this time And he wasn't thinking of his service. He wasn't absorbed in the Lord. And his mind became attracted to her. And she completely captured him. And she enjoyed with Viparinarayan for some time. And then Devadevi, she sent for all of her ornaments and clothes, fancy things. And then she really began her dance. And she really controlled Viparinarayan. And after some time, she took every little bit of wealth and everything that Viparinarayan had, and she left him. And Viparinarayan began to cry. And he followed her. And just like a man who's been given up by an unchaste lady, poor Viparinarayan, with no sense of shame, he was sitting outside of her door and just crying and banging on the door, "Please, please, let me in, let me in. Go away, go away. I don't want to see you anymore." Because he didn't have anything more to offer to her. So he was stuck there, sitting outside the door. After several days like this, one day, Lord Ranganath, his Vijay Vigraha, and his consort, Lakshmi Devi, came out of the temple in a palanquin with a procession, and they were going by, and they happened to go past the door of the house of Devadevi. And then they saw Viparinarayan sitting outside of her door, looking very, very miserable. And Lakshmi Devi, she asked Lord Narayan, "Who is this?" And Lord Ranganath told her, "You don't recognize, this is our old servant, Viparinarayan. He brought us so many flowers and garlands, and just see now how this poor soul has nothing now. He's, all of his wealth is gone. He's being spurned by his lover." At that time, Lakshmi Devi, she said, "My Lord, you promised in the Gita, Kuntaya Pratijani hi name bhakti pranashati, that your devotee will never be vanquished. You'll always protect your devotee. How can you let him go? Even if he sinned, still you should redeem and you should bring him back to your service." Lord Ranganath says, "Yes, yes, I have some plan. You just watch and see how I do this." A few hours later, there was a knock on Devadevi's door. And although Viparinarayan had been banging on her door for several days, somehow when she heard the sound of this knock, it sounded different. And so she went to the door, and she found one humble Brahmin there. And she said, "Devadevi," said, "Who are you?" And he said, "I'm a humble servant of Viparinarayan. My name is Ranga. And Viparinarayan sent me with this golden plate to give you." Devadevi said, "Oh, really? He's very nice. I appreciate that." "Tell him he should come inside." And so that Ranga, he went to Viparinarayan. He said, "Oh, Devadevi's waiting for you. You should go to her again." So Viparinarayan jumped up, and he found himself again in the arms of Devadevi. And he was with her for a little time. And that messenger suddenly disappeared. The next morning, when the priests entered in the temple of Lord Ranganath, they found that a very valuable golden plate was missing from the temple. And so this created something of an uproar. And the incident was reported to the king, who's in charge. He looks over the temple and things. And he immediately ordered that the priests and attendants who were looking over the golden plates, they should be arrested. So when they were arrested at that time, one of Devadevi's maidservants, she happened to come by, and she saw amongst those persons who were arrested, she saw one of her lovers there. So she inquired what happened, and she was told about it. So that maidservant, she told them that actually this plate was brought by Viparinarayan, and it was given to Devadevi. It was nothing to do with these other priests here. So when they found out about that, the temple manager went to the home of Devadevi and found that missing gold plate. And so immediately he arrested Devadevi and Viparinarayan and brought them before the king. The king became very, very angry. He liked Devadevi very much, but how could you stoop so low to do such a thing as this? And Devadevi was shaking. "Wasn't me. This guy. He's been sitting on my doorstep for days, and he brought this golden plate to me. It wasn't me. So then the king became very furious, and he said, "So Vipra, what do you have to say about this?" And Vipra Narayan said, "I don't know. I was just sitting outside the door. I don't know anything about any gold plate. I didn't do anything." "Huh? You're lying." And the king had him arrested and put in jail. And so then that night, Lord Ranganath, who's famous as Bhaktivatsala, who's a lover of his devotees, he came to the king in a dream and he said, "Look, I don't like this. You shouldn't have arrested my devotee, Vipra Narayan. I want you to reinstate him. You give him that previous service." He said that actually it was me. I came in the form of that Brahmin with that gold plate. I'm the one who stole it to rescue my devotee. And so they immediately released Vipra Narayan. And when Vipra Narayan realized what mercy he'd gotten, he immediately began to cry in great remorse. He realized his fault. And he cried and cried, and he made a vow, "Forget it. I'm giving up all this sense gratification and illicit desires, and now I simply want to worship the Lord." And he became strong then in his conduct and his service to the Lord. And Devadevi was also let go. And when she heard about the change in Vipra Narayan, she also had a change of attitude. And Devadevi, she gave away all of her valuable ornaments and different things to the Brahmins. And she began to live a life of bhajan. So we can conclude this with another point, which is given by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Bhajan Rahasya. He says a very interesting thing. He says, "What is our qualification to do nam-bhajan?" Would you like to hear? "What is our qualification to do nam-bhajan?" And Bhaktivinoda Thakur quotes two verses from the 11th canto, the Bhagavatam, where Krishna tells Uddhava, "Jatashada makatasu nirvinasarva karmasu vedadukatmakam kaman parityage panishvara." That sometimes my devotee, he's jatashada makatasu. He has some faith in Krishna Katha. Nirvinasarva karmasu. He knows that all these materialistic activities are disgusting and very bad. Vedadukatmakam kaman. He knows that it'll just cause me all kinds of misery. But parityage pinishvara, still he can't give it up. Even though he has some taste for that Krishna Katha. So what should that devotee do? Krishna tells Uddhava, "Tato bhajeta mam prita, shadalur dhridanishchaya jusramanashchatan kaman dukadarkan shagarhayan." That, "Tato bhajeta mam prita," don't stop worshipping me. He should just continue. And he should do it with these qualities. Prita, with some affection. Shadalur, with some strong faith. Dhridanishchaya, with resolute determination. Jusramanashchatan kaman, even while they're engaged in their illicit kind of activities, they should continue worshiping me. And if they do that, dukadarkams chagarhayan, then garayan means to repent. Garayan means some heat, some tapa, some fire. And that fire of repentance then, their desires for these things will become burned up. We simply depend upon bhakti. And the devotee of the Lord is not fallen, even if he appears to be fallen. Krishna says, "Apichet sudaracharo, bhajate mam ananyabhak sadareva samantavya samyaghi vyasitoisa." He's a durachari sadhu. His behavior is durachari. It's not very good. But he's, because he's doing ananyata bhajan, he's a sadhu. And what is that ananyata bhajan? Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says it doesn't mean he's a pure devotee with no material desires. The verse says he's engaged in bad things, durachar. So what does it mean that he's doing ananyata bhajan? Vishwanath says it means that he's not taking shelter of karma, jnana, or yoga, or worship of the demigods. He's only taking shelter of Krishna. And Krishna says, sadhar eva samantavya. Samantavya means very emphatically, you should know that person is a devotee. He's a sadhu. And he's going to be perfectly fine. even if he may become fallen. Because those devotees who once taste the nectar of the Lord's lotus feet, they can't give that up. Can I just sing a little short verse? It's okay. Right. This is a song which is from Orissa. In Orissa, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is a little popular. In practically every village in Orissa, they have kirtan parties, and they worship Gorni Thai. Practically every village, they chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, especially on Ekadasis, and different days they'll have 24-hour, 48-hour kirtan. And during even the wedding ceremony, the Smarta Brahmins, part of the wedding ceremony is that the wife, the bride, has to be initiated in the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So they have a song about the Maha Mantra, which I'd like to teach you. It's two short lines. It's very, very simple. Please repeat after me. Rama, Nama, Rama Nama, Ladua, Rama Nama, Ladua, Krishna, Nama, Krishna Nama, Gi, Krishna Nama, Gi. Okay. Rama Nama Ladua Krishna Nama Gi. Hari Nama Hari Nama Kanda Kira Kanda Kira Hari Nama Kanda Kira Gori Gori P. Hari Nama Kanda Kira Gori Gori P. It's really good. It has a nice meaning. You see, you take the name of Ram, the name of Lord Ram, Rama Nama Ladua, is just like a Ladu. And Krishna Nama Ghee, you mix it with the name of Krishna, which is like very fragrant, nice ghee. And then you add the Hari Nama Kanda Kira, the name of Lord Hari, which is like Kanda Kira, sweet rice, and Gori Gori, you mix them together, and pee, you drink it. Mm-hmm. Rama Nama Ladua, Krishna Nama Gibolo. Rama Nama Ladua, Krishna Nama Gib. Hari Nama Kanda Kira, Gori Gori pee. Hari Nama Kanda Kira, Gori Gori. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. So this is our movement. We're not just selling rasgullas and someone asks you, what do they taste like? It's like, I don't know. They just told me to come out here and sell them. I've never tried one. You won't be able to sell very many. Our movement means that we relish, that we taste. And that taste, that relishment, when we have that, such a devotee will always be protected. The Sattvata Tantra describes Hari Lila Sutochara Pareshu Satatam Tvaya Kaya Pritisthavahari Yata Bhaktir Nanashati. Yata Bhaktir Nanashati. Your bhakti will be protected. You won't fall down if you simply do this thing. That Hari Lila Sutochara Pareshu Satatam Tvaya Kaya Pritisthavahari. That you learn to love devotees. And how do we love devotees? By hearing Krishna Katha, by hearing Krishna Kirtan, by coming together and tasting these names, this Rama Nama Ladua, Krishna Nama Ghi, Hari Nama Kanda Kira. And when we relish this, this is our Hare Krishna movement. Vaisheshikabhu, he compares it to filling up a glass of milk. And our bhajan, we fill up that glass of milk, and then when it becomes totally full and it starts overflowing, that's our preaching. So this is our movement. We should relish something. Otherwise, how can we experience bhakti? Do we have time for a few questions or comments?